Okay. Heavenly Father, it's time to share your word. Help me to make it plain and understandable. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Life is like a journey. We each approach it, though, in many different ways. Some of you, when you go somewhere, you plan the destination and you consult with. How many of you think you? How many of you still have a map in your gun box? I think I threw mine all away. But I was just thinking as I was thinking about this message. I think I better put one back in, because you don't have cell service everywhere you go. I was just thinking about that. Okay, so some of you threw your maps away like I did. GPS, what's that? Global
positioning system.
Positioning. There we go. And you can get that by way of satellite. There are different apps that you can put on your phone. Before the apps and the cell phone, you could get these little machines you could put in your car called Garmin, and there was some other name that was designed for mapping. Before all that, you had AAA, they would give you maps, and they'd put a big black arrow, and you just page as you traveled. Do you remember those? I had those. They were about that narrow and about that long, and you just paged. And I'm telling you, we've come to a place where I do enjoy being able to watch the arrow on the little screen on my dash. That's real handy. There are apps that you can get for your phone. Google, Waze. You ever hear Waze? We use Waze. I like Waze. But anyway, it's interesting that these apps all, you just punch in your destination and it'll tell you, well, how fast do you want to get there? As fast as I can. Now, well, as quick as I can. What's the shortest route? Well, this is the shortest route. Yeah, but you got to pay all those tolls. How about the cheapest route? I'm not programmed for that. I don't know. I'm just making this up. But anyway, we live in a wonderful time that we can do that. We make sure that we're on track. Now, some people live their lives spontaneously. They just go wherever the road takes them. I remember my father-in-law used to do that still when they would go somewhere to travel and they would go down to Lancaster. They said they would just get on some roads just to see where they went. That wouldn't be a good thing for me because I'd get lost. Well, I wouldn't now. I have the GPS. But we'd better have a map because I'm not good with directions. You know, I'm just not real good. Never been good with that. So anyway, some just go through their life like that. They sort of just drift around through life, managing from day to day without too much thought for the future. Have you set any goals? Have you pursued any courses? Have you made a plan? Are you following your plan or God's? He has a plan for your life. He has given you talents. Talents are natural abilities. Talents, I believe, are talents that you can inherit from somebody in your family. It's interesting on my side that Grandpa on my mother's side was a painter, and of course my father was a painter, and I ended up being a painter. You'll find that works very similar with singers. Scotty's a cousin. Scotty sings. I've sang before I was called to preach. Several in my family can sing. So I know that there are natural talents, natural abilities that every one of you possess. Some of you, I look back at my cousin, some of you can work on a computer and know exactly what you're doing. I don't. I just push buttons. One time it came up and said, you'll lose valuable information. I thought you knew I won't because I haven't put nothing valuable in this piece of buttons. Don't you tell me I'm going to lose it. And if it don't do what I want it to do, I just pull the plug and then plug it back in. And they said, now you really lost it. I didn't care. I didn't put nothing one in there, so somebody's lying. Isn't it interesting? We have natural talents. And some of you are good at it. And some of you tried to use a talent that you never had. Now I want to tell you, you'll get an eye-opener real quick. If you ever try to do something that's out of your comfort zone, you'll find out what I'm talking about this morning. We all have special abilities. And when I move out of my comfort zone and I try to do stuff that I'm just not equipped for, it usually turns out to be a mess. I tried doing a little electrical work one day. I thought I watched my father-in-law pretty closely, but obviously I wasn't watching close enough because I welded a screwdriver fast to the electric wire. Boy, was I glad that it had plastic or something on the other end, or I'd have got a charge in my life. I made the sparks fly and the circuit breaker broke, and that was all she wrote. I thought,
hey, Roger.
How did I miss that? Oh, I forgot about that day.
You hold the cord, I'll cut it.
Yeah.
With the clippers.
Dick and I used the hedge clippers. We thought there was a wire that he didn't need, and we just gave it this, and the sparks flew. And
the girl said, hey, the light.
The girl said, what are you guys doing out there?
Yeah.
We're saved. We're ready to go. If the rapture takes place, sudden death, sudden glory. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
There are a lot of other things I forgot about. It's okay. I'm not going to remember it. I ain't going to re-resurrect them neither. It's just as good as stay buried. Okay, so there is a difference between talents and spiritual gifts. As I said, talents are natural abilities that we often inherit from a family member. And as we grow, we develop and we can determine our interests and our vocations with that talent. By the way, that's one of the ways you find out what you got. A spiritual gift, however, is divinely given by our God to equip us to serve Him in an effective way. These are, by the way, chosen by God because He made you. He knows what's best gift to give you. You say, Pastor, what kind of spiritual gift do you think I should have? It's none of my business. Neither is it yours. You ask God what He thinks. God, what do you think I should have? Because that's the best gift. Paul said, covet the best gift. What would that be? It's the best gift that God has given you. And whatever gift He's chosen to give you, I want you to use it for His glory. There are three different types of gifts. The first one is ministry gifts. These are referred to as ministry gifts. These teeth make me sound like everything I say has S's in it. I'm breaking them in, but they're breaking me in. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12. He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, but carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So these gifts are given to serve and build up the body of Christ. The second is personal gifts. Personal gifts. First Corinthians. We did read that. That was what we did read earlier. These are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 through 11. It describes the gifts that are given to each of us individually for the common good of the church. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing spirits, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Then thirdly, motivational gifts. Romans chapter 12, 4 and 8, we also read. These are motivational gifts. These are gifts that determine how we express ourselves and how we serve others, such as prophecy, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and mercy. These are all different things that all of you have at one time or another probably done. But some of you do it more often than others, and I would consider that to be a gift. Every believer has at least one spiritual gift. And a simple way that you can discover your spiritual gift is to examine how you respond to situations or needs. For example, those with exhortation, they like to help and they like to encourage others. Leaders tend to take charge of a situation right away. There's no standing around wondering what to do. They just go ahead and take charge. They just do it. That's a leader. Somebody got to do something. That's a leader. Just go ahead and do it. Fix it. Whatever it takes, fix it. Some people have mercy. They have mercy. They feel compassion for the hurting. They're compassionate. When they hear these stories that this young man died, oh, their hearts become heavy because they're compassionate people. They're compassionate for the hurting. We need to know, it's important that we know our spiritual gifts because it's going to help us determine how to serve here in the church. It can also make your employment much more enjoyable and productive when your job fits your gifting. Some of you are working at a job that you are not gifted for. And if you're not gifted for that, I'll bet if I'd ask you if you like it, you'd say, no, I don't. I'm looking for another job. That's because you're not working with what you're gifted for. Listening to me? It's important that you do what you're gifted for. Because I can tell you that work won't seem like work when you're gifted for it. Because it becomes very enjoyable. So I want to try to help you find your gift. Because I want you to get the most enjoyment out of your life that you can. And you can. God wants you to be happy. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. It's going to help make your life more enjoyable and productive, especially when you get a job that fits your gifting. Understanding these gifts helps us to better understand, accept, and be able to value each other. Every one of you are important to this church because you have a gift to give. And some of you are practicing your gift and you don't know it. Some of you have the gift of giving. Let me give you an example of giving. It's not just offering plate. Giving comes in many different shapes and sizes. Perhaps you're a cook and you love to cook. But I can tell you, you wouldn't want to pay that cook's bill at the cashier. But that cook spends a lot of money to buy food because they love to cook. And that food might show up on your doorstep and you get it for nothing. How about that? They definitely have the gift of giving. But they wouldn't spend that money at the store. You see, giving comes in different shapes and sizes. It's not always what's put in the offering plate. Some of you are using your gifts. I know you are. Because I've been wanting to receive some of your gifts. And I love it and appreciate it. And I don't want you to stop. I want you to continue. Continue. Continue to use the gift that God gave you. They are not for all of us. We might think they're for others, but not for us. But listen, God has a special gift for you, and He wants all of you to be partakers of it. God has made us to be part of the whole body in Romans chapter 12, where we were made to be part of the whole body. We're working together in a very unique way. And when we do that, the church is benefited. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says the church is benefited. That's why Peter said to employ them in serving one another. 1 Peter 4:10. When we use our gifts to help others, we gain a sense of purpose and satisfaction because we are doing what the Lord has created us to do. And we will experience the success as the Spirit of God empowers us to do that. And by the way, it's not your power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. My grandpa used to always say that to me. Oh, I remember so many times when he sat at the supper table. Grandpa would look at me and say, if I knew what you do, I'd throw that paintbrush in the can. You should be preaching instead of painting. I wish Grandpa was here now. He would be happy. God accomplishes his work on earth through his church as we employ our gifts. Jesus ascended to sit at the Father's right hand. He sent the Holy Spirit to accomplish God's work in and through us. He moves upon our hearts by revealing needs and empowering each of us to respond according to our own unique spiritual gifting. And together we will accomplish his will. The work is the Lord's. We are entrusted as stewards of our spiritual gifts. A good steward requires more than just sitting in the pew on Sunday. No matter how little you may think that you have to offer, God wants us to make ourselves available for service. And instead of using your difficult backgrounds and your inadequacies or maybe your past failures as excuses, instead, we should do our best and trust the Lord to work in and through us. No matter what we do or whomever we serve, we're working for Jesus. Even if it might seem like little to do, whatsoever your hands find to do, do all for the glory of God. As Jesus was your employer. One of the reasons the Lord gives us spiritual gifts is to make us into the people he wants us to be. His purpose, so he can accomplish his purpose through us. We'll never realize our potential until we put our gifts into action. We should never underestimate what God can do in our lives. He can miraculously open doors and provide the resources that you need to succeed. We're to serve one another in the power of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts don't originate in us. They're given to us by God. The disciples couldn't fulfill the work that Jesus assigned them to do without the Spirit's empowerment. So neither can we. As he guides and he equips us, his work is accomplished for his glory. So I'm finishing with this. Why do believers fail to serve the Lord and weaken their testimony to the church? Well, I'm going to give you some reasons why some church people fail to serve the Lord in this way. First one is ignorance of the Scripture. Some Christians don't use their spiritual gifts because they don't know what God's Word has to say about them. They're just simply ignorant. They don't know. Here's another one, inadequacy. People focus on their own weaknesses instead of on the Lord's power, and so they don't feel capable of accomplishing his work. How about guilt? A sense of unworthiness due to the past sins caused many believers to mistakenly believe that they have been disqualified from the service to the Lord. Don't disqualify yourself. You never heard that from God. I'll bet you heard it from the devil, though. He'd tell you you're disqualified because you don't want you doing things for the Lord. He'd be the first voice that would tell you, you're disqualified. If people knew what you did or how you did, why would you want to help anybody? Don't listen to him. He's a liar. He's a liar. How about fear of failure? Some Christians let fear keep them from serving instead of seeing failures as an opportunity to learn and improve. Here's one, laziness. Those who want to avoid work won't volunteer to help. You'll never see them volunteer because they don't want to work. They're just plain lazy. Unwillingness to commit. Using spiritual gifts is a responsibility some believers are reluctant to accept. Here's a good one. Lack of love for other people. If people aren't concerned for others, they're unlikely to serve them. Boy, isn't that the truth. Selfishness with time. That's a good one. That's a big one. Those who want to protect their time for their own interests will often say they're just too busy to help. Ouch. Just too busy to help. You know, we're all going to stand before the Lord someday. Did you know that? Did you know that? Maybe you didn't know that. He's going to ask you, what did you do with your time? Well, Lord, you know I do like the recliner and I like to watch my games. Stop meddling. Go back to preaching. Here we go. Poor time management. Christians who never schedule time to serve others rarely get around to it. How about comparison? People sometimes turn down a service opportunity because they think someone else could do a better job. So they just let somebody else do it. Lastly, sin. If believers are living in sin, they won't have a big desire to serve the Lord. They're not going to have a desire to serve. Because if they're living in sin, they're going to serve themselves. They're selfish people. And they're going to serve themselves because they're living in sin. They won't have a desire to help anybody. So, this is response. Have you ever honestly asked the Lord what he wants you to do? Why are you here? How much time do you have left? You don't know. You can't tell me. Maybe you have less time than you think. Maybe you'll be facing your maker pretty soon. Have you ever asked the Lord what he wants you to do with what time in your life is remaining? How would accomplishing God's work benefit both you or others? Do you know how the Lord has gifted you to serve him? And if so, how does your gift influence how you respond to situations and people? And if you're not sure what your spiritual gift is, do you see a connection between how you typically respond and any of the gifts that you heard listed in the scriptures today? And lastly, is anything keeping you from serving the Lord? What can you do to overcome these obstacles so that you can live in the fullness of God's plan for your life? The purpose of why you're here. Pretty good question, isn't it? Let's have the group come up at this time. We're going to have to take your prayer requests.